Hi everyone, welcome back to Coffee and Crime with me, Colette.
And me, Izzy. What is your crime today, Colette? There we go.
Yeah, so today is going to be mine.
Yeah.
And I've been very, very excited because this has been a long time coming. I don't know if you saw my tweet. I hope you didn't.
No, I stayed away from the Twitter so I didn't get spoilers.
Okay, well Wait, let me find the tweet and read it out. So my, like, my preview for this week was, I just decided who I'm going to be researching for my next episode. I've mentioned them in nearly every episode, so it's about time I dedicate a whole one to them.
Oh, do I know?
Da-da-da. Edmund Kemper.
Yeah, I knew it. Go, I'm tired.
Yeah, same. That's what, like, I was struggling to find someone that wasn't, like, depressing, so I'm still not over the Skylar Nice episode.
No, you
evidently
know this. You love it.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
So I was like, you know what? And also, the guy that played him in Mindhunter, Cameron Britton, has just been nominated for, I think, an Academy Award? Some acting award for playing Edmund Kemper. So I was like,
nice.
Extra fitting that we do it. So that's what we're talking about today.
Great, can't wait.
For those of you who don't know, his nickname is the Coed Killer because he, surprise, killed coeds.
Yeah.
So a bit about his childhood. He was born on the 18th of December, 1948.
Wow, so close to your birthday.
I know. I think this is why we have such a strong connection to each other, because...
Yeah, it must be. Wait, what year was it?
1948.
Okay, cool.
So his full name is Edmund Emil Kemper III.
Oh, wow.
Which, not gonna lie, sorry if I offend anyone, not a massive fan of the, like, more in America and also British royalty, like the naming your kids.
Oh, yeah. Well, it makes you sound a bit fancy.
I feel like when you start getting to the third.
Yeah.
He grew up in Burbank, California, with his mother, Clarnell.
Wow, they all have exciting
names. I know, I thought that was a typo on the Wikipedia article. No. With his mother, Clarnell Elizabeth Kemper, and two sisters, so he was her only son.
Okay, yeah.
So Edmund Kemper II, which is his dad, fought in World War II and then became an electrician.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, quote, suicide missions in wartime and atomic bomb testings were nothing compared to living with Clarnell, end quote.
Oh.
And apparently she impacted him more than, quote, 396 days and nights of fighting on the front did, end quote.
Oh God, that's a lot of hatred there.
Yeah, so that's his dad, like, clearly does not get on with his mum.
Live at home, like, did he stay with the family?
I'll get into that.
Right,
but,
okay. I won't spoil.
Yeah, so put a little note here that I think that he's, like, I think the reason I find him so interesting is because he's, like, the perfect example of nurture in the nature and nurture debate, because, like, his dad was an army veteran and he said that he was more impacted by his wife than he was by
traumatizing
fighting.
Experiences. Yeah.
I mean, I imagine it was an exaggeration. I don't know, but still, like, Edmund was really young at this point, so obviously children are more vulnerable to be, like, molded.
Yeah.
So if his dad was that affected, then, like, clearly he could have been impacted when he was younger. So, when he was 10, he killed a cat by burying it alive, and then when...
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, when he unburied it, he spiked its head on a stick.
When he unburied it?
when he dug it up.
Don't you know?
Unburied. Well,
when you get to him, yeah. Oh, that's a bit nasty.
Yeah, and this, like, ignited... Basically, he enjoyed the feeling of lying to his parents because his parents asked what happened and he was like, haha, not me. And...
Oh, so he displayed the... cat head, did they find it or something?
I don't think so.
Oh, when you said not me, I thought they knew.
So when he was 13, he then killed their family cat.
Oh.
So he's got a bit of, like, a vengeance for cats.
Yeah.
Because he felt that it preferred his younger sister to him.
Oh my God, it's a cat. It's not personal.
And as well, cats are pretty, like, fickle. Like,
Yeah.
Whoever feeds them most.
I was gonna say, be nicer to
Yeah, try loving it some more. Oh, here we go. And his mother found the pieces of the cat in his closet. Wardrobe, I don't know where I've put.
The pieces, that's horrible.
Yeah, I know. This was why, when I was researching it, I was like, do I put this much detail? Because, like, I have a cat. And that was... made me uncomfortable. Yeah. I mean, even if you don't have a cat, I doubt you're going to be like, woo. But, yeah, I didn't know how much was too much.
No, I think that's alright.
Okay.
I think we've said worse.
Okay.
Between us.
And he also used to remove the heads and hands of his sister's dolls, which I don't think that's, like, that weird.
No, but it's not weird. It's just, what's the word, like, destructive and mean. And it's also, like, starting to... I don't know, it's just, like, not really having regard for people's feelings.
True, but I guess if he hadn't have been a serial killer, I don't think it would be weird. Like, that's
no,
not...
I just think it kind of displays...
violent, like, tendencies.
And bad character as well.
But I think, like, if your kid was doing that, I wouldn't be like, oh my god, they're going to be a serial killer.
But that, as well as them killing cats.
Yeah, obviously.
They're being destructive and...
Because dolls aren't living, but...
yeah, I forgot. Thanks, Colette.
His elder sister Susan once asked why he didn't try to kiss his teacher.
Why he didn't?
Yeah, exactly. That's...
Did he have a crush on her or something?
Yeah, but still. But
anyway,
I don't know. I read it and was like, why he didn't try to? Like, what? I even put a note. I'm very confused. Why would he anyway?
That's yourself.
I do that all the time. Do you not?
I don't write notes to myself. I just write weird things. I don't know.
I write things that I want to read out loud, that or like bits that I want to discuss.
Oh yeah, further. If I need to say it in a particular way, if I like imagine myself saying like, so anyway, I found out.
Yeah.
This. So anyway.
Just so and then he said, so when she asked why he didn't try and kiss her, he said, if I kiss her, I'd have to kill her first. Supposedly. I don't know how accurate this is. This is like what she said after he'd committed the crime.
I see, yeah.
So this is me speculating, because I like to do that and pretend that I know lots about psychology. Clearly from a young age, he had kind of skewed attitudes towards people, and especially women.
Yeah.
Which I personally think derided from having an abusive mother. And kind of her disregard for the happiness of others.
Okay.
So I'll kind of get a bit more into what she used to do. But I think that might have, like, rubbed off on him.
Yeah.
Like, not really caring about people's feelings and things. Like you said about the dolls, obviously. So this is a bit strange. So the second grade teacher, who's the one that he had a crush on, he used to stand outside her windows and watch her. But he used to take his father's bayonet with him.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, but...
Wait, how old was he? Approximately, like...
His second grade teacher... No, he definitely wouldn't have been in...
Aren't you, like, 8
less? That definitely less. That's, like, year 3. But that can't be right. It must have been... I've written it after it said that he killed his cat, so... That was when he was 13. He was in his teens... Maybe.
Yeah.
He was aged between maybe 8 to 15.
Okay. That's all right. Anyway.
And he also used to play a game called Gas Chamber and another game called...
That's fun. Did he just not have, like, friends just in his spare time, just stalking his teacher? Oh, wait, did he play the Gas Chamber game with people?
With his sister, with his younger sister. And the other game he used to play was Electric Chair, where basically what she would do would... Like, he would strap himself to a chair, or, like, she would tie him to a chair.
Yeah.
And then she would flip a switch, and he would pretend that either he was being gassed or he was being electrocuted.
How many times can you play that game before it just gets a bit boring? Like,
None. When is it ever fun? Like, I don't think... Imagine if your brother came up to you and was like, Izzy, would you mind if you tied me to a chair and pretended to...
Anyway,
he also had several near-death experiences.
I will say, I guess they didn't have phones and TVs.
True.
They needed something to entertain themselves.
But still, I can think of plenty of other ideas that were not death related.
Carry on.
So his elder sister tried to push him in front of a train.
Right.
Unsuccessfully, but I don't know which part of it was, like, I couldn't work out if he'd gone on the tracks and then just didn't. I don't think so. I think
he's quite, like, a big person as
well,
isn't he?
By the time he was 10, he was, like, 5 foot something. I think he was 5'4". I'm sure that's what it said.
Yeah.
He was huge, basically. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of him.
Yep, I have. Scary.
yeah, by the time he was an adult, he was 6'7".
Jesus.
So, oh, here we go. He was 6'4" by the age of 15.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so he's pretty big, so that's probably why she didn't successfully push him in front of a train.
Yeah.
She also tried to drown him by pushing him in the deep end of a swimming pool, and he nearly drowned.
God, she's really trying.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't work out what had, like, made her want to do it. Like,
whether she's also, like, a bit...
Yeah, because it doesn't seem... Like, he's... I mean, he did kill the family cat.
But yeah, but does she just hate him? Or is she also, like, a bit, you know, like, impacted by the family?
Yeah, that's what I can't see. That's why I think it's, like, more nurture in this case. But I don't see how you can, like...
To be fair, even if you hate someone... Unless you're scared of them, though.
Yeah, but from what I can see, he's not done anything that, like, warranted her to be that...
If she knows about, like, the bayonet and everything... I don't know. Yeah, no, I see you, though, yeah.
I just was very confused, so... I put, clearly it runs in the family.
Yeah.
Clearly it does. So in 1957, his parents split up and he lived with his mother in Helena, Montana, despite the fact that he was closer with his father. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if that was a choice or if that was just like a... Because mums used to get custody no matter what, basically. So probably more that. Yeah. So she was neurotic and an alcoholic who used to belittle, humiliate and abuse him.
Wow.
So she made him sleep in the locked basement so that he couldn't hurt his sisters, which I think affected him. Because, like, if someone keeps telling you, oh, I'm afraid that you're going to rape your sisters. Well, I don't know if she said that specifically. But if she is like, I'm afraid that you're going to hurt someone, then it might make you think that you're capable of hurt. Like, if someone keeps saying you're going to hurt someone, I'm worried you're going to hurt someone, you might think, oh my God.
What, that you are, like, a bad person?
Yeah.
Capable. Yeah, and also it's just, like,
if he is
negative and, like, oh, in general, it's just, like, a bad environment.
Yeah, because if she is afraid that he's going to hurt someone, maybe don't lock him in a basement like a prisoner. Like, get help, yeah.
Although the problem is...
It's the 50s?
Yeah, exactly. What health healthcare do you have... For, like, church. Mental health issues. Church. Yep. Good to you, yeah.
And she also bullied him for his height, because he was 6'4 by 15. By the age of 15, not...
Bit rude.
Yeah,
how genetic. Like, sorry.
She called him a, quote, real weirdo, end quote, and wouldn't care for him. Like, wouldn't, like, mollycoddle him or whatever.
Yeah.
Because she didn't want to turn him gay.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, homophobia too.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Not beautiful.
But...
No. She constantly compared him to his father, who she'd divorced at this point.
Yeah.
And told him that no woman would ever love him.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Heavy.
Yeah. So, like, maybe he was a psychopath before, but also...
This
isn't helping. Help,
yeah.
And people, like, now, since studying the case, believe that she was suffering from borderline personality disorder.
Okay.
And I've put, this makes me feel more sympathy for her. That's probably not quite the right word, but, like...
What helps you understand?
Yeah, because she was in an era where people couldn't receive help. So she was doing the best she could, even though that was not very good at all.
I don't know if best she could is pushing it.
Well, she was...
Yeah.
It's more, what I would say, it's more... The problem lies more with, like, social services and stuff for letting the kids stay with her.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
She...
It's really hard to say how much the mental illness would affect her actions, though.
True. That is true. I think maybe the fact that she was an alcoholic might have been more of an issue than the...
But then again, you can say that's an illness as well.
Yeah. True.
Anyway.
So, Kemba fled to Van Nuys in Los Angeles when he was 15, because that's where his father was. But his father had remarried and had a stepson. He was sent to live with his grandparents by his father, called Maud and Edmund. Obviously, because he's Edmund III, so this is going to get complicated.
Wow, yeah, okay.
And he described Edmund III, so Ed Kemper, who's also, his granddad's also called Ed Kemper, so that wasn't...
Call him co-ed.
Okay. I never realised co-ed. Co-ed.
Yes, good point.
Wow.
Sorry, I wish I didn't just go, yes. Yes.
Who he described as senile.
Oh.
And apparently Maud was, quote, constantly emasculating me and my grandfather, end quote.
I think his mother gave him, what's the word, like, this isn't the right word, insecure masculinity, what's the word, fragile.
Yeah.
Fragile masculinity. I feel like I don't know.
He seems like one of those guys that's like, you know, if they ask a girl on a date and then they say no, and then they're like...
Or they're angry, except he'd probably kill you.
Yeah, but then they're like, I'm a nice guy.
Yeah.
Nice guys always finish last. Blah, blah, blah. Like one of those kind of guys.
I would have treated you nice. Yeah.
He's like, I didn't want to go on a date with you anyway. You're so ugly.
That's so petty. I think that's hilarious.
So, the murder of his grandparents, which occurred on the 27th of August, 1964.
64, he was born 48.
He's 15.
Oh.
Yeah.
I feel like I should have known this. I think I did somewhere in my brain as well.
So, supposedly, Edmund, as in the co-ed killer, mm-hmm. Edmund, and Maud had had an argument while they were sat at the kitchen table. So he went and grabbed the rifle that his grandfather had given him.
Wow.
Yeah. Healthy family dynamic.
Yeah.
And she saw him with it and told him not to shoot any birds because she didn't like him killing birds. So he shot her in the head, obviously.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, and twice in her back. And it's believed that she may have been stabbed multiple times post-mortem with a kitchen knife.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just...
He's got 15. A lot of pent-up anger. I can't remember... I think this is his maternal grandparent. Oh, wait, no. No, it must be his... Paternal, because
to
if
pass
it,
the name down. Yeah,
because that makes
detective work.
Well. I know. I don't know why I thought it was. I think it's because Maud and Clarnell remind me of the same. Like they're quite similar.
Mm.
So he moved her body into the bedroom, and then waited for his grandfather to come home because he'd been grocery shopping.
Yeah.
And then when he did get home, he shot him too.
Oh yeah.
Because he didn't want his grandfather to find out that his wife was dead. Which, like, I have a solution to that problem. Don't kill your grandma. Yeah.
At least he was thoughtful. Not really at all, yeah.
So...
That's so weird, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a strange reason to...
Trying to act, like, be like you're doing a nice thing.
Yeah, I guess
you've just done awful thing.
I guess if you're, like, feeling guilty, it might kind of... balance it out.
Very weird.
I don't know. Strange morals, as we like to discuss a lot.
Yeah.
So Edmund then called his mum, Clarnell, for advice, and then she suggested calling the police, which he did.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of glad, actually, that she suggested that instead of just being like, come home and I'll protect you, because some people wouldn't tell their son to call the police.
Yeah.
But then I don't think she liked him that much, so...
So it probably wasn't...
It probably wasn't...
Sensibleness, it's probably just hatred.
This makes me sad as well, because he seems to have a lack of a role model in his life, and the fact that he still turns to his mum, like, even after he's run away because she was abusing him effectively.
Well, he really clearly needs someone.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, like, Stockholm Syndrome, where, like, you... Or, like, a lot of people in abusive relationships can't leave their yeah. abuser, even though you know that they're abusive because...
But I suppose he's panicking here.
Yeah, true.
It makes him seem kind of, like, vulnerable almost. Like, he's yeah. run away, he's killed his grandparents, and then suddenly he needs help, and he yeah. calls his mum. But then it's kind of sort of sad, not really, because he just killed his grandparents, yeah. but because she doesn't want to hear it, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. I don't know. I have too much sympathy.
I know, me too. It's so bad.
So he said that he killed Maud because he, quote, just wanted to see what it felt like to kill Grandma.
Wow.
And then he killed his grandfather because he didn't want to find out that his wife was dead, as I said. He was diagnosed, Edmund, was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia.
Yeah.
And admitted to here we go. The first confusing thing of the episode. Atascadero State Hospital. But then the doctors there disagreed with his diagnosis.
Oh.
Of paranoid schizophrenic.
Yeah.
So they think instead that he had a, quote, personality trait personality trait disturbance, passive-aggressive type.
Oh.
End quote. And his IQ was recorded as 136.
That's pretty good, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so he's... I think the average is like 110, maybe? I don't know, but
really?
He's
yeah.
got like a high IQ. I know anything above like 140 is like...
Is that really high? Okay.
I think Stephen Hawking's or someone's is like 150-something, like high 50s.
Oh, wow, okay, yeah.
But they're like... Really,
top of the
yeah.
game.
So, like, he has a high IQ, basically.
I've always wanted to do an IQ test.
I think I did one, but it wasn't like
no,
the
like
official,
a proper one.
Yeah,
I tried to do one online.
I did one online. I think I got like 142, which was probably fake.
I mean, it could be real. That'd be exciting. We should go off and do that.
You have to pay. No thanks.
See if we can join Mensa. That'd be cool.
Oh, that would be fun. Oh my god! Yay!
Just so you could say it, like.
Yeah, we have to record a podcast episode while we sit the test.
Great, yeah. So interesting. It'll just be silent.
So during his time while he was at this mental hospital, he, quote, was a very good worker, end quote, which is untypical of a sociopath.
Mm.
Because apparently he took pride in his work.
Yeah.
And whereas most sociopaths like don't really feel anything towards anything.
Okay.
But, like, especially work, like, it's just pointless to them. Whereas he seemed to take pride
That's
in
what
it
yeah.
and care about work. So he used to administer psychiatric tests to fellow patients.
Yeah. Oh.
Safe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, which is a problem later. So he actually, while he was doing this, was learning how to manipulate the psychiatrist because he was being given the same tests.
Do you think that's why he... seemed to, like, show interest in his work because he was interested, but not in the work. He was interested in the fact that he was, like, tricking them.
I don't know.
If you know what I mean.
Because I've seen interviews with him, and I don't think he comes across as, like... He's very self-aware.
Yeah.
I do think that he enjoyed the work, but also
a
part of him, maybe.
I was just wondering, because you said earlier, like, he liked that his parents didn't know... Like,
True.
He got away with something, so it's like he's getting
yeah.
away with it, and he's, like... Also, he's, like, using his brain.
Yeah, true.
If you know
I
what I mean?
Really...
And think he's thought of a plan, like, and he's
yeah.
executing it and no one knows.
I don't know if he got the job and then realised
oh,
he
yeah,
could
yeah,
manipulate
it, could
it, or if he wanted to get out, so he got the job, like,
which
way
around,
it happened.
Yeah.
So, basically, he was learning how to answer the test correctly, or whatever, to get out. And he used to administer the test to sex offenders.
Yeah.
And they gave him advice such as,
wow.
if you rape someone, kill them afterwards so that you don't have a witness.
Oh yeah, I've heard that. I think I was listening to maybe like My Favourite Murder and they were talking
yeah.
about someone who did that. They
that was
they
my...
raped people. I think it was like a man raping boys
mm-hmm.
that he picked up and then he realised like, I think he got taken to court.
Yeah.
So he was like, this time... Yeah, that's what it was. Because they released him after barely any time, even though he raped loads of people. Like, loads
yeah,
of kids.
Yeah.
So he was
I
like,
think
well,
I've seen this
yeah, better not get caught again. I think it was from quite a while ago. But
I think this might have been in the Mindhunter book.
No, it was definitely in the episode. Okay. I remember listening to it on the plane. It might have been both.
Yeah.
But then he was like, well, next time I might get an actual decent sentence.
Yeah.
So I remember because they were bitching about short sentences. Yeah. It was funny.
So he was released on the 18th of December 1969, which was his 21st birthday.
Yeah.
What a nice birthday for him. Because he was released and sent back to Clarnell.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
At least he's 21 and huge now, so he can protect himself a bit better.
She can bully him more for his height because he's grown.
But he can just smack her. Sorry, not that you should. I'm just saying in theory. Sorry, that was really dodgy. As in, if she bullies him now, she'd be more scared to.
Yeah.
He can just do that. It looks like he's not against it.
Well, she didn't care when he was 6'4".
True.
I don't think she's going to care that he's grown a tiny bit more.
I don't recommend smacking anyone, especially not your mother. Just put that out there.
So she was living in Aptos, California, which was near her workplace, which was University of California, Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
On the 29th of November 1972, his juvenile record, because if you're under 18, your records aren't like open to the public,
mm-hmm.
but his were permanently destroyed because he'd been rehabilitated.
Oh.
Air quotes, rehabilitated. Great. Yeah, successfully.
That was responsible.
Yeah. I know. So, as part of his parole... What?
I just can't believe you can... That's fine, like, as long as you're apparently rehabilitated. It's only been 6 years, you killed two people.
Yeah.
But whatever, like, just go out in the world.
His parole requirements stated that he had to attend community college, and he hoped to become a police officer.
Okay.
However, he was rejected because of the fact that he was 6'9". But
why?
Yeah, that's what
wouldn't that almost help
you? Exactly. That's I put surely they would want that because then he can control people better. But then I guess he looks super intimidating. So like, you know when police have to like knock on the doors of people
but they
whose
could,
relatives.
I'm
sure
there's like certain departments which would suit that anyway.
Yeah.
He could just can you just not be on those type of things? I don't know.
Strange. I was very confused by that because I thought that being 6'9" would be an advantage, but maybe he was too tall for the police station.
What?
They had low ceilings. That is insanely tall.
Yeah, that is huge.
Because,
just like imagine it for a second. Wait, how tall are you? 5'5".
Yeah, 5'6". If you're being generous.
Okay, 5'6".
He's 1'3" taller than me. And also he's like huge.
Huge, yeah.
Like he's just got like a massive build. He's got really broad shoulders. I don't know. It's intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
I love, or I don't love, that's not quite the right word, but the picture of him, he's like walking down a corridor.
Seen it.
And there's two policemen either side of him, like escorting him. I think that was when he was going for an interview.
I think I saw it in comparison with the Mindhunter screenshot.
Same.
Yeah.
But it's hilarious because like...
Just massive.
Like, if he wanted, he could probably easily overpower them.
Yeah. But then they'd send back up.
No, I know, but it's still. It just looks funny. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, because he was rejected from the police force, he then became a, quote, friendly nuisance, end quote, to the Santa Cruz police officers, who nicknamed him Big Ed.
Mm.
And he hung out at a bar called the Jury Room, which was where, like, a lot of law enforcement hung out.
Yeah.
So basically he liked being, like, in that scene.
Yeah,
in that kind of crowd. And because he couldn't work as a policeman, he started working with the State of California Highway Department.
Okay.
Which reminds me a bit of, I think it's the Green River Killer? I think is who I mean.
Sure.
Might be BTK, but one of them used to work for a park ranger thing.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently quite a few serial killers either like working in police, Golden State Killer, or...
Sure, totally no, yeah.
He was a policeman. Or they like working in authoritative jobs where like you can tell people off and you...
Oh, I see.
You're like
above,
like superiority complex type thing. So his neighbours apparently could hear him arguing with Clarnell a lot. And he moved to Alameda, with his friend as like a roommate.
Yeah.
But even when she'd moved out, she, Clarnell, regularly phoned him and like would turn up at his house without telling him that she was coming.
Weird.
Like quite regularly. And he didn't have that much money, so he sometimes had to like move home for a couple of weeks because he couldn't afford.
Older. Yeah.
Yeah, so he was quite reliant on her basically, but didn't like to be.
Yeah.
Like.
What, he was forced to be.
Yeah, basically. I think his dad basically just kind of didn't want, because he had a new life, so.
Hmm.
I know. Quite rubbishy.
That's gotta hurt so much.
Mm-hmm.
That must be the like one of the worst things.
Yeah, being rejected by both parents and also.
Yeah, your parent, like, oh, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not your fault, because they would have done it to anyone, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah, yeah.
That's your.
It must completely destroy, like, any self confidence.
Like, your
confidence.
Parent has you, they're supposed to just
love you
unconditionally. Love you, yeah. And then they've, like, just ditched you for. And then. Added to the insult, it's not just because they don't want a kid, it's because they want one like with someone else, so they have a new one and raise them and they're fine.
He didn't have a new one with him, it was his stepson.
Oh, I see.
So
but he's still raising.
Yeah.
Okay, so he didn't try and have a new one.
Yeah,
but he's
no.
still like raising another kid, but it's not his fault.
Exactly.
He just didn't like Clarnell.
Yeah.
Clarnell, every time, it just doesn't sound right.
Right, I just need to double check this. I mean, I don't know what it would be. Just to double check that they didn't like spell it wrong in the entire Clarnell stage. Clarnell. Wow, she looks.
She doesn't look how I expected to be.
No, me neither.
Who's that?
So, I couldn't find the exact age for this. It just said when he began working for the highway department.
Yeah.
But that was kind of shortly after he got released. So he was like 21.
Early 20s anyway.
Yeah. Under 25, maybe like 22, 23 might be pushing it. So
mm-hmm.
fairly soon. He started dating a 16-year-old high school student.
Sorry, but no.
Sorry to anyone that's over 18 and is dating a 16-year-old.
No, not sorry, don't be.
No, I know, I'm kidding. we hope that you feel offended.
Yeah, please end it now. Not don't end it like your own life. End the relationship. Just clarify.
So they later became engaged. Yeah, that's I don't think she ever comes up. I just thought that was like a fun bit of information. But that like proves that he's not like unsuccessful with women. She's 16.
Yeah, that's kind of like a lot of 16-year-olds. Just because it's exciting.
Would date a 20...
Yeah.
Same.
Okay. Anyway. but they would, wouldn't they? Just because it's like, oh, you've got someone older.
Cause... And like, if you're with all your friends at high school, which is UK college. So she's basically in our year. Because high school...
No, we're 17 and 18 this year.
No. Oh yeah, I forgot we'd gone up a year.
Oops.
Year below. So she's like first year of college if you're in the UK. Imagine if your friend... Actually, I was going to say it would be cool if your friend was like, oh, I'm dating a 22-year-old. I wouldn't...
Would it?
He also got... This is what I've put is the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
He also got hit by a car whilst riding his recently purchased. Yes.
Oh, that's the end of the sentence. Oh, great.
Right, it's supposed to say motorcycle. So
okay.
He got hit by a car. He's not had much luck thus far in life. His sister tried to push him in front of a train.
I mean, one of probably the biggest problems, the biggest challenges he's encountered is being, like, an inpatient for 6 years. Except he did that himself. So, you know.
True.
So you can't complain that much.
Well, I know. I'm just saying that
his sister tried to
hit him with a train, or tried to get him hit by a train.
And his...
And drown him. And he's just been hit by a
dad
car.
Dad left. His mother hated him.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, okay, I see
that.
He
used to get locked in the basement. Anyway, he settled took the guy to court that hit him. Or girl, we don't discriminate.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
And got $15,000.
Wow.
Which, like...
Wow.
For getting hit by a car...
Well, how badly?
I don't know.
Well, he didn't die, so... that's fine.
That just doesn't seem... I guess if nothing was injured, like, it doesn't... Anyway.
If he just fell off and he wasn't really hurt apart from a few scratches, 15 grand.
True. Right?
If he actually,
come,
like...
Come drive your damaged car then. At me, please. Don't. So he used this money to buy a 1969 Ford Galaxy, which became his kidnapping vehicle.
So, in some ways, you could say he did have luck. He found himself a kidnapping vehicle. You could say the girls didn't have
karma's
luck.
Karma's a bitch, but like the opposite of karma, where it's like you got hit by a car, so you have bad karma. Or you have...
So you pass on the bad...
No, so then you get the money, which means you get a kidnapping vehicle, and now it evens out the bad thing that happened to you. You're just passing on the badness. I don't know.
What, because you had something bad, now you're giving away something...
Yeah, but I'm just saying that from his point of view, he had something bad, but then it got balanced out by a good thing.
Yeah.
Which was having a kidnapping vehicle. For everyone else, that's a bad thing. But anyway. So, while he was, like, driving this... Ford Galaxy, he would notice young female hitchhikers.
Mm-hmm.
So, because of this, he started collecting, like, a kidnapping kit in his bag, which, in his boot trunk, if you're American. So he put plastic bags, knives... Listen to our last episode.
One link between our episodes. Guys, you'll know what this means if you listen to our last episode.
Yeah, so now you have to, because now you need to be now part of the inside joke.
Yeah.
So he put plastic bags, knives, blankets and handcuffs in his car and then began picking women up. And apparently he picked up 150 hitchhikers before he started feeling his, quote, little zapples, end quote.
What? Where is this?
It's like apples, but with a Z at the front.
Little zapples?
Yeah,
okay.
Which are his homicidal sexual urges.
Did he call himself?
Yeah.
That himself? Oh, okay, that makes sense. Oh, that's so cringy.
It sounds like something you would say to a kid, like...
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Oh, honey, I've... That's weird.
Got your... I've got your homosexual... No, what homosexual? Homicidal sexual...
No. What I was going to say is it sounds like if your kid got home and you'd be like, oh, hi, pumpkin, I've got your little zapples ready for you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I know what you're going to say. Now I've just traumatised myself. Then I was just thinking what that actually means. Wait, traumatising.
And I've put a little note, like, how terrifying would it be watching the news years later and seeing an interview with him?
Oh, yeah.
And he says, oh, yeah, I picked up 150 women. What?
Sorry, I'm just looking at notes. How terrifying would it be watching the news years later and recognising that you'd accepted a lift from him? OMG.
I need to remind myself.
What, to be shocked?
No, that was... As I was writing it, I have to be like, it's funny. This is a... crazy moment, but like, can you imagine seeing an interview with him and he's like, yeah, I picked up about 150 women before I started getting my little zapples, and then you're like, oh my god. Anyway, moving on.
Probably shouldn't be hitchhiking.
No, our word of advice for you.
But sorry, no, I didn't mean like. Well, it's your fault. Should you have been getting in their car? No.
Word of
general.
Advice, don't hitchhike unless, not even if it's absolutely necessary. I don't know.
Well, if it's absolutely necessary, well, then probably.
No, I have an alternative.
What?
Walk.
What if you got hit by a car?
Is that a threat? Are you threatening me? I know I have a recording of you saying that you're going to hit me with your car. So his murder spree lasted from May 1972, I feel like we've been laughing too much, and I'm just going to bring the mood down.
Can't we?
To April 1973, and led to the deaths of 5 female college students, 1 high school student, and then 2 surprises, which I'm keeping till the end.
Oh, surprise. Wow. Oh, I don't think one of them is just a surprise. It's just a surprise? It's a surprise, because you've already told me about it, and I already watched the show.
Oh. Surprise, his mother and her best friend.
Yeah, I did. Okay. I knew one of them, actually.
The first two were Marianne Pesce.
Oh,
I'm going to say Pesce. And Anit Lucchese. That's how I'm saying it. So that happened on the 7th of May, 1972. And he picked them up from Fresno State University.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both 18. And they were hitchhiking. And he pretended that he would take them to Stanford University.
Oh, damn, yeah.
I don't know why they were going there. Like, whether it's maybe for they had friends, open day. Yeah, or friends. Maybe they had friends. I could probably tell you for a fact that they probably did have
maybe
friends.
Maybe they had friends there.
And they didn't notice that he had changed directions, which, if you're hitchhiking, pay an attention. Eye out, yeah. And he was actually...
No, if they're excited or something in the back. Anyway,
well, still, be extra. Please, we don't want hitchhiking deaths anymore. We never wanted them in the first place. Anyway, I digress. And he was actually taking them to a secluded area of woods near Alameda. And he knew, like, this area well because of his work at the highway department.
Great.
And also, his mum lived in Alameda, so...
Woods are scary.
Agreed. He made use of the lessons that he learnt from the serial rapists at Atascadero. Oh.
See, so it wasn't...
Darrow.
I said that was one of the worst things in his life. It was actually great. He got killing tips.
Great for him.
Yeah, terrible not great for anyone else. I'm saying from his perspective. It was actually
true.
Really terrible, because... Well, he shouldn't... It's fine that he went in there and learned it. He just shouldn't have got out again.
Yeah. True. Agreed. So he handcuffed Pesce and locked Lucchese in the trunk of his car. In his boot. I don't know why I keep... Americanisms. So he stabbed them both and then strangled them to death.
Ooh, that's horrible. So they didn't even die from the stab wounds?
I guess not.
Nasty.
Apparently while he was like, I don't know what he was doing something. Oh, also, this was something I didn't know whether to include. Every one of his victims, practically, he did irrematio, which is, do you know what that is?
Nope.
Basically, like, oral, but when the person is unresponsive because they are dead. Yeah.
So, well, on them?
No.
Or made them do it?
Yeah. Often when they were decapitated. I was very confused by the anatomy of the entire...
Yeah, how would that work?
Anyway, we'll get into that later. No.
Will we? In depth.
So I've brought a model with us and we can...
Right, move on.
So while he was like with the two girls, apparently he accidentally brushed his hand against one of Pesce's boobs.
Okay.
Which embarrassed him. So he said, quote, whoops, I'm sorry, or something like that. That's like the whole quote.
Mm-hmm.
So this is him talking
about
it.
What he actually said or something like that.
So he's, yeah. Because this was him in an interview saying, oh, I think I said whoops or something. Basically. So on the way back to his apartment, the police stopped him.
Wait, her dead body? He brushed against her dead...
No, while she was alive.
Oh. I was going to say.
Yeah, that would be weird.
I didn't know if it was chronological or...
I did put that in a weird order. But on the way back to his apartment... which was the one that he had with the roommate, not his mum's.
Yeah.
He got stopped by the police because he had a broken tail light.
Oh.
But they didn't notice the bodies in the trunk of his car.
He must have been shitting himself.
Yeah. Or, as we know from the cat thing, he might have been getting off on it because he was...
Probably once he drove away.
Yeah, he was like...
I'm sure that's the exact sound.
So... he had sex with the bodies in his apartment before he dismembered them. Also, I don't know how he knew that his roommate wasn't going to be home. I was very confused.
They might have had work. He might have known their work schedule or something.
Yeah, but still, would you risk... Like, would you go in first to check? Because if... Also, how did no one else... If they're in an apartment...
What, not notice him bringing them up?
Yeah.
If you put them in a bag, I guess. I don't know. Bit of a big bag to have two bodies in.
So he abandoned the bodies near Loma Prieta Mountain and then left their heads in a ravine, like in the nearby area. And Pesha's skull was found on the mountain in August, but no other remains for the two girls were ever found.
I just think it's horrible because it's degrading your body after as well. It's just no respect
for
it, even though you're not alive. So it doesn't matter that much because he already killed you. But I don't know, it's just horrible.
Yeah, no, I agree.
How quickly does your, like, does everything rot away from your skull?
I don't know.
Because I thought it would take a while. But how gross must that be to find it, like, halfway through the process?
You don't want to think about that. So, Aiko Ku was killed on the 14th of September 1972, and she was 15.
Oh.
I know. This is the one that I find, like, the most horrifying. So, he picked her up because she was hitchhiking to her dance class because she'd missed the bus.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And he pulled a gun on, or he, like, drove her to the same area and pulled a gun on her, but accidentally locked himself out of the car.
Okay.
But because he'd, like, somehow built her trust up when he had the gun on her, I don't know.
What?
Yeah, I was confused. She let him back in the car. I know.
Poor girl.
I know. I guess if you're 15, you're in the woods on your own, I would have no idea what to do.
Yeah, you just have to make a decision, don't you? Either way, because you're risking it.
Yeah,
so you just have to choose.
What would you even do? Because you're in the trunk, so it's not even like you can do anything. And I can't decide if, like, maybe she knew that he was like, maybe she didn't actually trust him.
Yeah.
Because it's only him saying, like, he's telling
this
story.
She might have thought if she's stuck in this trunk.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, if she could let him back in, she could open the doors.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was going to say she might starve and she'd rather risk being able to get away than starve.
She wouldn't have starved.
Oh,
but
she
could
get out.
The problem is, obviously, you can't see out of a trunk.
I wonder if he threatened her with, like, worse things.
But, like, when I'm picturing this in my head, it is literally terrifying. Imagine laying in the trunk of a car and you know that there's someone outside, but you can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
So do you wait? Because he could go home somehow, get a crowbar and start trying to get in, which is terrifying to picture like you're in a trunk.
And you're just waiting.
Until it suddenly pops, which is traumatic. Or
you can
do
risk
you
it.
Wait until you think that he's left, but for all you know, he could just be stood
quietly waiting.
Yeah. And then you open it and he still stood there. That is terrifying.
And he's fucking huge and you're a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah. And as well, he could be getting angrier that you're not letting him in.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you think, oh, well, if I get out now, he might, like, calm down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... Anyway.
Horrible.
Lose situation. So he choked her unconscious and then raped and killed her.
God.
And drove to a bar with the body in his boot and had drinks before he returned to his apartment, and he performed necrophilic acts and dismembered, then disposed of the body. And the girl's mother reported Aiko missing, and she put up hundreds of flyers. However, no one ever called any tips in, and, like, she was Korean, and this is the 70s. So, I have a feeling, I mean, maybe they did investigate it,
but
the police were quite racist in the 70s.
Yeah.
Still are, in America a little bit. More than
just
a little bit. that might mean that she didn't ever get, like, full justice, which is...
God, yeah.
A massive shame. Well, I mean, at least they know who killed her, but still, obviously, doesn't make it better. So, Cindy Shawl was killed on the 7th of January, 1973, and she was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And he picked her up outside Cabrillo College campus, shot her with a .22 caliber pistol, and drove back to his mother's house where he was living at the time.
Yeah.
And he put the body in his closet overnight until she left for work, his Clarnell left for work. And he then performed more necrophilic acts, removed the bullet from her body and dismembered and decapitated her in the bathtub. Which, how do you clean that?
I was actually thinking that earlier. Like, where would you cut someone up?
But obviously, like, in the bath where is at least
a bit of a better place because you can just run the water.
True. It's insane.
Mm.
He kept her head for several days before burying it in the garden, facing Clarnell's room because she, quote, always wanted people to look up to her.
Aww.
I hate that quote. That was the end of the quote before I said that.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting to, like...
I understood this time.
Her remains were thrown off a cliff, and everything except her head and right hand were recovered and, quote, pieced together like a macabre jigsaw puzzle, end quote. And the police and a pathologist determined that she had been hacked and cut into pieces using a power saw. After her death, thankfully.
Thankfully, yeah.
Well.
No, it is. It does make it that 0.001% better, I suppose, to not be hacked to death while you're alive.
Yeah. It's just still, like you said, quite degrading. Like, the whole...
It's like you're nothing, I don't know.
Yeah.
You just put in little pieces, that's fine, just throw them away.
So the final two college students were Rosalind Thorpe and Alison Liu.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on the 5th of February, 1973. So Kemper had an argument with Clarnell.
Yeah.
So went looking for victims, which was, like, a common trigger for him, was if they were fighting.
Yeah.
Or she was being, like, quite controlling, he would... I guess it's, like, regaining power. Like, if your mum is being really controlling of you, he would try and regain control. So that you're not always... I don't know.
Yeah, no, I understand what you mean.
So, at this point, students had been advised to only get in cars with university stickers on them.
Okay.
Because of the murders of hitchhiking students. But Edmund had one of these on his cars because his mum, Clarnell, worked at the University College Santa Cruz.
God, that isn't that so weird?
I know.
That happened to be the case.
Exactly.
So there could have been hundreds of other people who could have been the killer without... maybe they would have gained access to one anyway.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
But it's just
what are,
like,
the chances of that exact scenario?
If you get that advice, though, at your college, and they say... this will help keep you safe.
Yeah.
Obviously, they can't guarantee it, but you're probably going to trust that.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
And as well, I remember seeing an interview with him where he said he was sat in the front of the car once hitchhiking or picking up two hitchhikers, and one of them made a joke and was, or they were talking, right.
Mm-hmm.
He had the radio on and they mentioned this, like, co-ed killer.
Yeah.
And... the girls were talking about it, and then he went, oh, maybe it's me. And they were like, no, it's not. Like, just laughed it off. Because obviously you don't actually consider it.
Of course, yeah.
So he picked up 23-year-old Rosalind and 20-year-old Allison at the University of California, Santa Cruz campus.
So he was on campus?
Yeah, I know.
Why?
I don't know.
He's on Uber.
Yeah, he's basically running, like, a taxi service.
Yeah, he should just be picking them up on the side of the road if he sees them, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
So...
maybe they're standing at the edge of the... I really don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
That's okay. Rosalind was first in the car, which then reassured Allison that it would be okay.
Right.
And the young women were shot with the same 22 caliber pistol, and their bodies were wrapped in blankets. And he beheaded them whilst they were still in the car.
It's going to be a bit messy.
Exactly. His methods seem flawed.
Well, it worked out for him, didn't it?
Yeah, true. But he carried the bodies into the house to perform necrophilic acts on them.
Yeah.
He dismembered them and removed bullets to avoid detection before discarding of their remains at Eden Canyon, and they were found there 1 week later. And then the rest of their remains were found near Highway 1 in March, so a month later. And when he was caught, like, in the future, he was asked why he decapitated his victims, and he compared them to a trophy, like, not like a serial killer trophy, not a...
Yeah, of course.
and said, quote, "The brain, eyes, mouth, that's the person. You cut off the head and the body dies," which was what he got taught at school.
Okay.
"The body is nothing after the head is cut off." Well, that's not quite true. There's a lot left in the girl's body without the head. End quote.
Nasty, nasty.
Yes.
I feel degraded just hearing this.
I know. But what I was confused by was necrophiles.
Necrophiliacs?
Yeah.
Actually, does that make sense? Necrophiles?
It sounds like
paedophile. Oh, but then you never say paedophiliac, so.
True. But
no,
should necroph- he, right.
Maybe it is necrophiles.
Okay, anyway. He decapitated them and then had sex with them and made them, like, perform oral on him with the decapitated head. Surely there's blood, like.
Maybe he doesn't mind.
But I don't know. Like, all I can picture is just, like, a decapitated head and how gross that looks in movies. And, like, all the stuff hanging out of the...
Yeah, but this is going to get too real now.
Probably.
But where it is, you can only see the top of the head. You're not going to see all that.
Yeah.
That much, are you?
I think what I find interesting about necrophiliacs is, like, what makes one person a necrophiliac and one person a rapist? Like, because surely one is...
What do you mean?
Like, because he was killing them either way, but he only had sex with them after they were dead. So what makes that preferable to... Because it's not like he was raping them and then had to kill them to avoid a witness.
But I guess the point with rape is that it's forced, so you have to actually force yourself onto someone.
True.
Whereas they can't do anything. Sort of. And also, not just that, because obviously you can be, like, intoxicated and not be able to fight back and stuff, and then that's still rape. But, and plenty of other things, you know.
Yeah.
But, also, it's, like, I guess it has psychological impact as well.
On him?
No, on the person.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if he was killing them anyway.
What do you...
Like, if he had raped them before, he was going to kill them. But instead, he killed them and then.
Oh, are you saying them. Why would he rape them after they?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like how. Like... I thought you meant like why is it defined as not also being rape?
Oh no, no, that wasn't what I meant. I meant why.
Why would he not rape them while they're alive?
Yeah, which makes it is like a horrible thing to say.
Maybe it's the. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like why.
What, because you could do it either way?
Yeah. So he clearly preferred if they were dead.
Because he always did it that way, yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe it's, again, like the power thing. Like, they can't speak to him. They can't... Or maybe he just actually just did like it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's nothing to do with that. Obviously, it does give him more power and everything.
Yeah.
But maybe if he likes power, then wouldn't it be more fun?
Exactly. Well, that's what
fun,
this...
that's horrible. But, you know, like...
Better for him, wouldn't he?
While they're alive, so you're like, haha, like, you can't do anything.
It's exactly. Not... Just the whole thing confuses me. I mean, probably because I'm not a necrophiliac or...
Or a murderer.
Or a rapist. That's why I will never understand the little zapples that he's talking about.
That's probably for the best.
So the final... murder was of Clarnell Strandberg, so that's his mum, but her name had changed because she'd remarried, but she'd divorced that person but kept the surname. And Sally Hallett. So on the 20th of April 1973, Clarnell returned from a party, which woke Edmund because she was being noisy, I guess. And she walked into his room and she said, quote, "I suppose you're going to want to sit up all night and talk now," quote, end quote. To which he replied, quote, "No, good night," end quote.
Oh.
She fell asleep, and he went back into her room with a claw hammer and bludgeoned her to death and slit her throat.
Jeez.
Like he had with all his victims, he performed irrematio with her decapitated head. I know. Which, like, sorry, this is so many levels of grossness. One, mother. Necrophilia. Two.
Incest.
Yeah. Three, I was going to say rape, but that... kind of classes as necrophilia. Decapitated.
Yeah.
For murder. Just They're like...
Poor Meadow, yeah, that's the last one.
Like, I don't know, there's so many issues.
But I wonder if that was the same as with the other girls, because with that, he's killed someone who has sort of had power over him, so maybe, like, doing that to her is, like...
degrading her.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. He's like, but still.
Fuck you, you don't have any... Oh, yeah. That was aggressive. You don't have any, like, power...
Yeah.
Anymore.
He then used her head as a dartboard and, quote, put her head on a shelf and screamed at it for an hour, threw darts at it, end quote. He removed... this might be TMI, so I might remove this later.
There's worse on the internet, isn't there?
True. He removed just...
Just warning.
Yeah.
Warning mature content.
Yeah. I mean, we are a murder podcast. What did you expect? He removed her larynx and tongue. Which he put into the garbage disposal, which we don't really have in the UK, but you know the things in the sink.
Yeah, yeah. That's so weird, isn't it?
Yeah. But the vocal cords were too chunky.
Oh.
I know. So they got spit out by the garbage disposal. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, which he said, quote, seemed appropriate as much as she'd bitched and screamed and yelled at me, end quote.
Wow. That is just something else.
He had sex with his mother's body and put it in his closet. And then in brackets, I put, I'm sorry, but WTF, this entire thing is so gross. End brackets, open brackets. Also, I'm confused because surely his closet is full of blood. Same with his car. And also, sorry for TMI, but when you're having sex with it, surely there's blood everywhere. We discussed that earlier.
Only from the head, though.
And the neck.
Sorry, this one, like where the head's going off, though.
Still. No, not if you've
stabbed them. Oh, yeah.
But anyway, don't want to think about it. So, he then went out, had drinks, came home, and he invited Clarnell's best friend, Sally Hallett, over for dinner and a movie.
Why did he invite her?
Yeah.
Maybe he said on her behalf or something.
That's what I was confused by, because I was like, did he say, do you want to come over for dinner and a movie? Or did he
maybe
say...
they were close. Oh no, why would they be close? He wasn't close with Clarnell. I was going to say maybe the three of them
were
like... Yeah,
but even then, like, if your dad called me and was like...
That would be different, because you're not like 25 and I don't live just with my...
Well, kind of similar enough that it would be weird.
You don't know their personal circumstances. That would be very weird. No, but if my dad called you and said, oh, Izzy's out... No, wouldn't it? It would be like if I called your mum and said, do you want to come over later for dinner? Because my mum's making dinner. She's just a bit busy making it right now. That's not
weird.
Well,
it depends what he said, I think, whether it's weird or not. Like, whether he said on his mum's behalf anyway.
That's... No, it's not like that. Because okay. That would be like her inviting... If my dad called you and invited you, he'd be inviting a minor to his house, whereas he's a full-grown adult inviting another adult.
Okay, sorry, that was a bad analogy. Yours was better. So he strangled, decapitated, and spent the night with her body before stuffing her corpse in the closet.
Was his mum not still in there?
I think so. He must have a pretty big closet. Yeah. And Edmund escaped in Hallett's car via Nevada and Utah before arriving in Pueblo, Colorado. And he was watching the news, but, like, they weren't showing anything.
Mm.
So he called the police and confessed, but the police thought it was a prank because they knew him as, like, Big Ed or whatever.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So they got him to call back a few hours later, and he asked to speak to someone he knew, and then they came and collected him. And he then confessed. So his punishment, he was accused...
Wait, why did he confess? Why would he do... What?
He wanted the, like, notoriety, I think.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because that's a bit weird, because, like, he's getting away with it.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, carry
that's
on.
Okay. So he was accused, or, like, tried for 8 counts of first-degree murder on the 7th of May, 1973... But because he had already confessed, he couldn't plead not guilty.
Yeah.
So he had to plead not guilty by reason of insanity. Whilst he was in custody, he attempted suicide twice, and the trial began on October 23rd, 1973. And I've just put, like, I don't know why he attempted suicide, whether it was because he felt guilty for what he'd done, or he just wanted to, like, avoid prison.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, he probably just... I don't know, it's really weird, isn't it? Did he never say anything about it?
No, I don't think so.
Because it... Maybe he was just... Because, like, he's turned himself ill... He's turned himself ill... Oh! He's turned himself in now. Maybe he's just, like, finished, like, doesn't see any point. Because going to prison, like you said, like, he probably doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
It'd be boring, especially because he's been committed before to a place.
Yeah, true.
And he obviously tried so hard to get out. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, three psychiatrists found him legally sane, and they found that he enjoyed the infamy of being a murderer.
Oh, I see.
And one of these psychiatrists used a truth serum, leading him to apparently admit to being a cannibal, because apparently he said he used to put the leg flesh into casseroles, but he recanted this later. Because I assume cannibalism, is that like a punishable?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay.
And it's also gross.
Yeah. He took the stand on the 1st of November and claimed his motive was he wanted them, quote, for myself like possessions, which reminds me of an incel person.
Oh, yeah.
In, like, today's society. And he tried to claim he had, like, a Jekyll and Hyde personality. And the killer, when that took over, it was, quote, kind of like blacking out, end quote.
That's weird.
Yeah, but then I find that strange anyway. Because, like, he seems self-aware now, talking about, like, you confess, so it can't be that much, like, blacking out if you know what you did.
Maybe it's blacking out in a different way. They're, like, you just have sort of, it's really hard to explain, but I can picture you saying, like, you blacked out because you just don't have any reason. Like, you're just focused on, no, that's not really the same as blacking out, though, is it? But...
Mm. So, on the 8th of November 1973, the jury, which was made up of 6 men and 6 women, found him guilty and sane on all counts. That's 8.
Well, yeah.
Counts of first-degree murder, after they debated for 5 hours.
Actually, why even debate? He said he was... Oh, no, that's true. He can make a false claim.
And as well, they could find him guilty, but...
Not sane. Yeah.
True. So, he requested the death penalty, which is unusual, specifically... Mm-hmm. Death by torture.
Oh, really?
Yeah. However...
That doesn't exist, does it?
He wanted... Like, when he was a kid, he used to play gas chamber and electric chair. Anyway, however, at the time, the Supreme Court had placed a temporary ban on capital punishment. I don't know why. So he was given... he was given 7 years to life for each count to be served concurrently at the California Medical Facility. So his imprisonment, which I put part two, because obviously when he was younger.
Oh, I see.
He was in the same prison block as Charles Manson and Herbert Mullin.
I don't know who Herbert Mullin is.
He was mentioned in the Mindhunter book. He killed people because he thought it would prevent an earthquake.
Oh, I do have Yeah.
Herbert Mullin was also in the same block as Kemper, and they didn't like each other. Because they'd both operated in Santa Cruz in the same years. So it was like a bit of rivalry, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. That's really weird, though. Being in prison at the same time as those. Anyway.
Exactly. Mm. And the same prison at the same time.
Yeah.
But Ed would intimidate Herbert Mullin using his height, because Mullin was only 5'7". And he used to throw water on him to get him to shut up.
Oh, God.
And if Herbie, was his nickname, was good, he would feed him peanuts. And he admitted that he was basically, like, conditioning him to not talk at certain points and talk. He's known as a model prisoner and schedules other inmates' appointments with psychiatrists.
Wow.
He also makes ceramic cups and records books on tape for the blind.
That's nice.
In 1987, he became the coordinator for the Books on Tape program at the prison, and he had spent over 5,000 hours narrating books. Several hundred books he's narrated. Imagine listening
to... How do you fit that in?
But imagine listening to an audiobook narrated by Edmund Kemper. We have to try and see if there's any. That's so weird. He was interviewed by John E. Douglas. Here he is again, Mindhunter.
Nice.
who said he gave a, quote, rare insight for a violent criminal. And apparently he does the interviews in order to save others from killing people. Quote, this is his advice for people.
Mm-hmm.
Trust somebody enough to sit down and talk about something that isn't a crime. It doesn't know when to quit and it can't be stopped easily once it starts. End quote. However, earlier the psychiatrist said that he wanted the infamy of being a killer. So, like, doing interviews maintains your infamy. Yeah, so, don't know. He was denied parole in 1979, 1980, 81 and 82. And,
good.
Yeah. And he has waived his right to a parole hearing in 1985, 88, 91, 94, 97, 2002 and 2007 because he felt he wasn't fit to return to society.
It's just going to be a waste of time and money.
Exactly.
He's not going to be paroled, is he, anyway?
Exactly. So he waived his right to a hearing in 2012 and was uninterested during his... was uninterested in having his 2017 hearing. And in July 2017, he was denied parole and isn't eligible again until
2024. Oh, well. Wait, so he's still alive?
He's currently 69.
That's not even that old.
I know. And still in prison.
I didn't know that.
No, sorry. Me neither. That's okay. And is unlikely to ever get out, partially due to the fact that he doesn't want to be released. And he seems to be pretty happy. Perhaps because of the structure, infamy, or just because he's forced to control his impulses. Like, it kind of seems like he doesn't want other people to have to suffer through what he...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, having those impulses, whereas in prison he has to control it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But that is the end of the crime. But I've just put that... I find him interesting because of, like, nature versus nurture. And also he's very self-aware and articulate, whereas killers like Manson are quite insane. So, yeah. Kemba seems to accept his crimes and recognises that they're socially unacceptable, yet committed them anyway. And he fully seems to understand what he's done and doesn't seem to be ashamed of it, yet also doesn't brag about it. In interviews, he comes across as quite detached, but in a self-aware way. If that makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
no,
he
I've
talks
seen it,
about
yeah.
his crimes, but as though he didn't commit them, but also is aware that what he did was wrong.
Yeah, it is weird. You should check it out if you haven't seen it before. Like,
or
look
Mindhunter,
up
the, or just interviews.
Just the interviews, even. Mindhunter's really good too, but the genuine interviews.
There's the interview, like, with John Douglas, which was 1982, I believe. That's a really good one.
But I mean, Mindhunter portrays it really well.
Yeah, Cameron Britton deserves to win.
We need to have an episode where we don't mention Mindhunter.
Yeah. Or we need to have one of those chatty episodes that we said we might make last week and then didn't.
Let us know on Twitter.
Where we discuss Mindhunter.
Let us know on Twitter, @coffee_crime, if you want a chatty episode. We will give it to you.
We were thinking maybe discussing us.
Yeah,
a little
ourselves.
Intro.
If you have any suggestions, let us know.
Yeah. Maybe Mindhunter if we're not interesting enough. Right. Thank you very much for listening.
See you next week for my surprise crime.
Because
I don't know yet. So,
bye.